Welcome to Side Podcast. This is episode 34, The Espionage Show. It's Friday.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
We did say we might do an extra show this week if one was warranted.
Yeah.
And I think it probably is. Yeah, it is. There's a bit of news to get through, isn't there?
There's lots to do with McLaren and Ferrari and the FIA and everything. And we really didn't want to clutter up the Belgian Grand Prix show.
No.
So we're doing an extra special show just for you. Previously on the Espionage Show, Ron and his team appeared before the FIA. They were found guilty of having Ferrari information, but there was not enough evidence to prove they had done anything with it, and Ferrari appealed the decision, but before the appeal was heard, it was thrown out because new evidence was discovered.
That takes us up to yesterday.
Yes, Thursday's hearing was all about the new evidence. Lots of people there in Paris, not us.
No.
Lewis turned up to support his boss, bless him. And there was also a surprise guest.
Ross Brawn.
Yes.
Unexpected.
It went on much longer than anticipated. They thought it'd be over in the morning, but by lunchtime they were all starving, so they had to go out and get some food.
And come back.
Alonso wasn't there, but De La Rosa was. You know, I've been complaining about Autosport recently.
What, the magazine being irrelevant before it's printed?
Yes. Well, their website was down on Thursday as well.
A bit popular.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Presumably it was because of the traffic, and it was down for like half the day.
Yeah, they're obviously not used to handling this kind of event.
And then, when it came back up, they announced the wrong verdict.
He really did.
They said that McLaren had been banned for 2007 and 2008.
Didn't they? They've had to announce a public apology to the FIA.
Well, it caused all sorts of problems because McLaren's lawyers read it and assumed that the FIA hadn't, you know, told them or spent enough time thinking about it and stuff. Yes. I mean, it was a nightmare.
Yes, they've not been having the best of weeks.
Well done, Autosport. The BBC, however, spot on at 6:15 PM with the announcement from the FIA.
What did it say?
It went something like this. The World Motorsport Council has stripped Vodafone McLaren Mercedes of all constructor points in the 2007 FIA Formula One World Championship, and the team can score no points for the remainder of the season. Furthermore, the team will pay a fine equal to $100 million less the FOM income lost as a result of the points deduction. However, due to the exceptional circumstances in which the FIA gave the team's drivers an immunity in return for providing evidence, there is no penalty in regard to drivers' points. No McLaren representative will be allowed on the podium should a McLaren driver win in any of the remaining races of the 2007 season. The World Motorsport Council will receive a full technical report on the 2008 McLaren car and will take a decision at its December 2007 meeting as to what sanction, if any, will be imposed on the team for the 2008 season.
Good grief. You okay?
Yes. So, question. Are they excluded from the championship or have they just been put to the bottom?
They've just been put to the bottom.
Had their points taken away.
Absolutely. And they are now joint ninth? With
a lot of other people.
Yeah, Toro Rosso and Spyker.
So does that mean next year their garage is going to be all the way back with Team India?
Team India, yes. Yeah, and they're going to struggle to fit that three-story motorhome in next to the Red Bull Racing.
Oh my God, how embarrassing.
Monstrosity. There's two very large motorhomes in a very small space.
So the number one car, presumably, if one of their drivers wins the championship, is going to be at the back of the paddock.
Yes. Well, that one is going to be very important, I think, come the end of this year and going into next year to keep sponsors happy.
The only thing that's going to keep them happy.
Assuming, of course, that whoever wins it stays with the team until next year.
This is probably the best quote of the day that sums up the person's feelings exactly. When he left the hearing, Max Mosley was asked if justice was done, and he said, yes. That's it, just yes.
You can't fault him for answering the question.
No, exactly. Ferrari issued a statement saying Ferrari is satisfied that the truth has now emerged, which they would be.
Yes, that makes a change, is what my initial reaction to that statement.
Ferrari happy? What's going on? Ron Dennis's reaction was this. The most important thing is that we go motor racing this weekend, the rest of the season and next season. Having been at the hearing, I do not accept that we deserve to be penalised or our reputation damaged in this way. So that was it, all done and dusted on Thursday night. Why didn't we do a podcast yesterday?
We could have done a podcast last night, but it would have been a very short one because that's pretty much the amount of information we had.
We were waiting to find out the official FIA information. which was due to be released today.
So I was listening to Radio 5 Live this afternoon, Friday free practice, and they had Mark Hughes from Autosport, them again, in the studio.
My favourite.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he's got a bit of a boring voice.
Oh dear.
He's not a natural speaker. And I was finding the show a little bit dull. I was contemplating turning it off, actually.
Weren't they talking about hair? People's haircuts?
Well, David Crawford is his usual enthusiastic self and was asking questions like, you know, have you seen Vettel's new hairdo?
Hairdo.
And Mark would answer with, not really interested in hairdos.
Don't, don't want to talk about hair.
And then all of a sudden the air went dead. You could hear the cars in the background, so you knew there wasn't a problem. But it was kind of silence in the studio. I was worried for a second that Mark might have bored them all to death.
Oh, he wasn't that bad.
No. It turns out they'd just been handed the abridged notes from the FIA verdict.
Ah, they were kind of like the minutes of a meeting.
It's not the full transcript. We're expecting those on Monday or Tuesday, including the notes from the previous hearing. But it is enough juicy information to be getting on with.
Well, didn't David Croft just like read it all out?
Yeah.
Like a script.
And the show improved no end. It was really enjoyable. I tell you, I was listening to it and my jaw dropped to the floor as I heard him read it out.
Well, I tell you what, if it's good enough for Crofty, it's good enough for me.
Oh, go on then.
Obviously, it goes on for pages, so I'm just going to pick out the important bits. Point 3.5 says, on the 21st of March 2007, Mr. De La Rosa wrote to Coughlin in the following terms. Hi Mike, do you know the red car's weight distribution? It would be important for us to know so that we could try it in the simulator. Thanks in advance, Pedro. P.S. I will be in the simulator tomorrow.
That's a very jolly Pedro.
Point 3.6. In his evidence given to the World Motorsport Council, Mr. De La Rosa confirmed that Coughlin replied by text message with precise details of Ferrari's weight distribution. Point 3.7. On 25th of March 2007, Mr. De La Rosa sent an email to Fernando Alonso, which sets out Ferrari's weight distribution to two decimal places on each of Ferrari's two cars as set up for the Australian Grand Prix.
To two decimal places?
That's some serious information they've got. Point 3.8. Mr. Alonso replied...
Senor Alonso.
Yeah, it should be. I like Mr. Alonso, though. That's good. That's Mr. Alonso to you. He replied to this email on the 25th of March 2007. His email includes a section headed Ferrari, in which he says, its weight distribution surprises me. I don't know either if it's 100% reliable, but at least it draws attention. And lastly, point 3.9, Mr. De La Rosa replied on the 25th of March 2007, stating the following, all the information from Ferrari is very reliable. It comes from Nigel Stepney, their former chief mechanic. I don't know what post he holds now. He's the same person who told us in Australia that Kimi was stopping in lap 18. He's very friendly with Mike Coughlin, our chief designer, and he told him that.
Blimey O'Reilly.
Yes, it is quite damning evidence.
Information was flowing consistently then between the two individuals, Mike and Nigel, prior to and during a race weekend.
According to the Italian police investigating on Ferrari's behalf... there were 288 text messages.
288 text messages?
And 35 telephone calls in a 5-month period.
That's more text messages than I've sent in my life. What on earth could they possibly have to talk about?
So in 5 months, that must have covered all kinds of tests and Grand Prix and...
Sore thumbs.
Yes, it would have involved sore thumbs. It kind of looks like they're pinning everything on De La Rosa. It's like... De La Rosa said this, he said that, he sent this, he talked about Ferrari there. So how long is it until he gets fired?
Although the emails are specifically De La Rosa, Mike and Fernando, they can't do the things that they're discussing there by themselves. Things like the simulator would involve lots and lots and lots of people. So you'd expect that more than just the three individuals were in on this.
But Ron Dennis is still claiming that no one knew anything. He said the entire engineering team, in excess of 140 people, provided statements to the FIA affirming they had never received or used the Ferrari information. I mean, I thought he was telling the truth, but he's been busted and he's still saying the same thing. I don't understand why he would continue to lie about it. Maybe I'm being naive, but once you're found out,
stop lying. I can see his point that none of the information has been used on the car. No one has proved that fact. But
I think it's safe to say they had it. They received it.
Yeah, didn't later on in the document, the FIA go on to say that De La Rosa had a discussion about the gas, a special kind of gas that Ferrari used in their tyres. So is Ron suggesting that when Pedro found out about this gas, he popped off to the local Calla shop, picked up a canister, came back, filled his tyres, put his tyres on his car, drove his car around the track and tested it by himself.
I don't know about test drivers, but I don't even know if there is such a thing as a Kalle shop.
Well, okay. The guy can't work on these things alone, and he clearly had big plans.
Now that we know that the drivers were implicated in the whole thing, I mean specifically Fernando Alonso and Della Rosa, it seems odd that they still get the immunity. I mean, I know they were promised it, but they were right in the midst of the trouble.
Well, the FIA were pretty shrewd, actually, ahead of this hearing. And I think they kind of figured this out. And they figured that, you know, if you take the two leading drivers out of this championship, it's going to make a mockery of this year and the whole sport in general. And so they offered them immunity. And probably they didn't actually need to do that. And they just did it so they could protect and give themselves an argument for keeping the two guys in the race.
That's true, because no one would watch just two Ferrari drivers.
No, absolutely not. No, it would be silly. And also, I mean, you've got to keep Hamilton in it because, you know, he's the new media darling.
God, imagine all those poor, desolate fans.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a chance that he might win the championship in his rookie year, which is obviously of interest to a lot of people. And also, you've got Alonso, who's big in Spain, and you've got two Spanish Grand Prix coming up pretty soon.
Oh, yes.
So you don't want to go upset the Spanish fans either.
That's true.
So you have to say, a bit ahead of the game, the FIA, and they covered themselves nicely on that one.
Alonso's not that special, though. I mean, I really am liking him less and less.
And why is that?
According to GrandPrix.com, who, let's face it, they've been 100% correct so far.
On this whole case, beginning to end, I don't think they've put a foot wrong.
Unlike Autosport.
Let it go.
They're suggesting that Alonso used his knowledge as a bargaining tool with Ron to extract himself from his contract. And Ron, obviously, he didn't want to be a pawn in Alonso's game, so he decided to shop himself to the FIA. Of course, Ron is actually saying it's all about being honest and open during the investigation. He said, "Once I became aware that new evidence might exist, which I did on the morning of the Hungarian Grand Prix, I immediately phoned the FIA to keep them informed." So he was the one that came up with the new evidence.
Well, he was, but that date is interesting. The morning of the Hungarian Grand Prix.
5th of August.
That's the day that follows the qualifying debacle between Alonso and Hamilton.
Oh, yeah.
And so presumably, Alonso was quite angry with Hamilton, decided he wanted out of the team, and came up to Ron and said, "I've got this information the FIA may be interested in, and I want out of your team."
And Ron said, "Forget it, I'm going to go and tell them myself." Apparently, McLaren should be grateful for the penalties they got.
Oh, right,
was it? Because Bernie Eccleston says that they could have been kicked out. He said, "It came very close to McLaren being thrown out. It really was a genuine possibility. A few of us sort of battled on and campaigned for the fine instead. Formula One is now more open than it has ever been because the threat is definitely there now if any team is helping anyone else. Even if it is a smaller team than McLaren, they're gone without any hesitation. The alternative to the fine was worse, being excluded from the championship for 2 years. It was much closer than everybody says it was. It really would have been bad news."
Two things. Firstly, when he says other teams, presuming he's excluding both Toyota and Spyker from that, as both have been implicated in data sharing scandals of late. And secondly, he's right about the transparency, because the FIA do appear to be trying to be more open to the media with things that go on behind closed doors.
But we said before that it was really actually quite tiresome. You know, when they were sending all those letters backwards and forwards, and we were like, when are they going to stop? And really, we kind of thought that maybe the matter would have been settled much more quickly and painlessly if they'd have just done it in private.
I think maybe the FIA are getting the hint that most people don't trust what goes on behind these closed doors, and by being more open about it, there should be no argument.
Prior to the last hearing, Mike Coughlin put his side of the story across in an affidavit, and we don't know what was in it. But this time around, they mentioned that there's a lot of stuff that we found out now that wasn't in that previous affidavit, so he might be in some trouble.
Some trouble?
Quite a lot of trouble.
Well, I should think he's going to be in massive amounts of trouble if that turns out to be true. They based the last hearing on the contents of that affidavit, and if they've got a load more information of things that he's been up to, alleged by the Italian police, he's essentially lied.
So, like, he probably didn't say, "By the way, Pedro was emailing me a bit." You might want to use that as evidence.
And he may not mention those 288 text messages.
I see.
Might have slipped his mind.
Ron is being sort of optimistic about the fine because he gets to offset revenue from the points earned to date, and that will basically halve the amount. I don't really understand that. How can they have the money if they don't have the points? You know, either be horrible to them, take their points and the championship away,
yep,
or be nice to them, You know, don't bother.
That is unusual.
You can't have it both ways.
No, I get the impression that what the FIA really, really wanted was a massive headline-grabbing figure to appear on all the newspapers the next day.
Biggest fine ever, isn't it?
$100 million. Kind of like Dr. Evil. I get that kind of vibe going.
$100 billion.
I can kind of visualise Max in his chair, a bit like Dr. Evil, with Jean Todt as Mini-Me. Trying to threaten the world with impossible amounts of money that doesn't exist.
Ludicrous amounts of money.
Do you get that vibe? Yeah.
And it's money he's never going to get, really.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, apart from the money, is the Constructors' Championship really that important? I mean, I've never known anyone go, yeah, we're Constructors' Championship winners. It's really all about the drivers.
Sometimes it helps sell cars, and team members like it because their bonus schemes are usually based around the points you get in a Constructors' Championship. To the general everyday fan.
No Christmas bonus for them then.
How are they going to... I don't think they can afford to pay any this year. Apart from that, to the general everyday fan, I would say no, it doesn't mean an awful lot. Drivers, constructor, it's all about drivers and personalities and who's going to win out of Alonso versus Lewis versus Kimi. And that's the important bit.
So what about the Hungary appeal? Have they, like, given that up now? Presumably they have because they don't need the points.
I hope they haven't, though, because the stewards need to be accountable for the decision they made. I don't believe they should have got involved, and that should be appealed.
Just on principle, basically.
Yeah, it's going to sound really silly, though, if Ron goes up there. If he doesn't appeal this case, and he does appeal that case, it's going to seem rather ridiculous, and he may just decide in the end it's not worth it, but which would be a massive shame, because it does deserve to be heard.
Give me my points back that I can't have, really. Yeah. Oh, dear. Never mind.
It's the principle of the thing.
Of course, he can appeal this verdict as well. But Ron wanted the actual FIA transcripts to review before making his decision. The FIA statement says, McLaren is reminded of its right of appeal. In the event that an appeal is lodged with the FIA International Court of Appeal, the effect of this decision will not be suspended pending the outcome of that appeal.
So basically, you're not getting your points back, unless, of course, you win the appeal, but you're not getting your points back in the meantime, so don't even think about it.
I feel really, really sorry for Ron Dennis. I mean, I don't particularly like him, although I don't really dislike him either. But, you know, his whole life is that team, and you can just tell it means so much to him. And, you know, it just must be an awful time.
Well, every day is a challenge.
He must be going through hell.
Well, he probably is, but in some ways he's slightly responsible because he put the management structure in place that, you know, has caused all these problems. It's not a traditional management structure at McLaren, and possibly he's paying the price for all those books he's been reading about people management.
And I really hope that Ferrari will just shut the hell up now.
Oh, it's far from over. This isn't the end at all yet. There's lots left to be cleaned up. You've got the civil cases going on against Coughlan. You've got to hear from Stepney yet. It's not even the beginning of the end.
But they've got what they wanted. You know, they didn't want McLaren to win the championship because they didn't want an all-McLaren car.
Potentially now we're going to have a homologated Ferrari floor in the 2009 or 2010 championship. We haven't got that confirmed yet. It's still speculation. But as they now should be the 2007 Constructor Champions, they should have that right.
I've had enough of this legal mumbo jumbo now.
I want to talk about...
Yeah, it's okay, but I like talking about the racing and the overtaking and all that
kind
of stuff.
Well, that's good too, I suppose, yeah. And we've got Belgium coming up, so it's going to be a podcast on what, on Sunday?
Yeah.
Before we go, can I lighten the mood a bit?
Yes, please do. It's been quite a heavy show. Let's have something upbeat.
Okay, well, it's just that I was listening to the Renault podcast at the beginning of this week.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, there was an interview with Nelson Piquet Jr.
Right.
And the show's anchored by the lovely Miss Holly Samos.
Mm-hmm.
She asked him an interesting question that I thought I'd just pass on to all the listeners.
Okay.
Because it's such a good question. And this isn't a criticism of Holly, because I just want to say that because Brendan will come around and kneecap us if we say anything bad about her. We love her to pieces. She's wonderful. But the question she put to Nelson, and I put this to everybody listening, is, are you a happy person or are you one of those that thinks a lot?
Right, because you can't be both.
They are mutually exclusive. Happy people, those that think a lot.
Which are you?
Well, I know that Holly is clearly one of the former, because she's not one of those.
One of those people that thinks a lot.
So I'm going to put myself in the think a lot group on the right side of the bus. Yourself?
Happy, obviously.
Okay. So, you know, I'd love to know anyone's opinions or responses on whether they're happy people or the ones that think a lot. Answers on a postcard, please.
Or in the comments.
Or in the comments, or even Skype us, and just tell us, happy, think a lot,